Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I am Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are in our third and final study of a passage in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, that we've entitled Be Like Christ. And we've been talking about this others before self mindset that Paul is trying to get the church at Philippi to realize their need for. And Jesus is the second example that he's used of that, and he is, of course, the ultimate example. He is equal with God. He existed with God as God, but he gave all that up to take on the form of a servant so he could die on the cross for our sins, and that's what we've gotten through so far up to verse 8. In verse 9, we've seen his humiliation in verses 5 through 8. Now we'll see his exaltation in 9 through 11, and they're inseparably linked because of his willingness to humble himself. God is going to exalt him. So verses 9 through 11 says, therefore, because of what I've said, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Yeah, so for this reason also, again, points back to this humility that we've been talking about in this passage, but it's because of that humility that God highly exalted him. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus is not the one doing the exalting, which is kind of the opposite of humility that we kind of point to too many times, is that we're too busy exalting ourselves that God doesn't have time to exalt us. You know, we spend way too much time and effort trying to exalt ourselves and make a big name for ourselves and, you know, whatever kind of fits into that category. But that's not what's happening. And again, if there was ever anyone that'd be justified in exalting themselves, it would be Jesus. And so Paul starts off really strong in his arguments about having, putting others before self and saying, hey, by the way, Jesus didn't do it, so you definitely shouldn't do it, you know. But because he humbled himself, and because of that, God highly exalted him.
Yeah, that therefore, time we see therefore, it's because of what was written before, and that's the reason God exalted him. And there's, if you look at the totality of Scripture, there's this fourfold portion of the way that his exaltation took place. He was resurrected, meaning he overcame the grave. He ascended back to the right hand of God in order to be our high priest. He was coronated as back at the right hand of God, his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he serves there as our intercessor or our go-between. And you might write Hebrews chapter 4 about verses 14 through 16 down there, and also 1 John chapter 2, the first two or three verses there. He is our intercessor, pleading our case before God. He's our advocate, but he's back in his rightful place.
Yeah.
He's at the right hand of God, and he is all of that glory that he set aside has been put back on him. He has a new status and even new privileges that he didn't have before. He couldn't have been our high priest before, but now he can.
And that only happens because of his humble attitude and the obedience that he had while he was on the earth. This would have been Hebrews is obviously a strong place to look at this because the Jews would have not been foreign at all to, especially in the old law, this idea of an intercessor or a mediator or a priest that advocated for you and went between you and the Lord. And part of Hebrews' point is that Christ is a better priest. He's a better mediator and intercessor because of his sacrifice. But that's where he serves us today. He couldn't have done that if it were not for what he did as while he was in the form of a bondservant, which goes back to, you know, his humble attitude and the obedience that he gave.
And he gave him a name above every name. Names are important because they're our identification. It describes who we are and what we are. You know, I always told you boys that you were Sawyers, and you should value the name that you're given of Sawyers. And we should give we should pass down, I hope I pass down to y'all, a name that will cause them to stick your chest out instead of your tongue out, you know, that you're proud of. Well, gave him a name that is, God made Jesus's name important above every other name in the world. He exalted him. And because of that, verse 10, everybody's going to bow to him.
Yeah, well, and it serves as an identification, but it also serves, you know, names also have meaning. And there's a lot of meaning, you know, behind, you know, what the name that Jesus gave him in Emmanuel, and the description of character that's there. It's not just a it's not just an identification, but a description in that God is with us, that you know, he's this connecting piece between us and God, and how grateful that we should be for that. He tells us in verse 11 that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not a it might do it, you know, but that we will, that we're going to have to recognize the power and the authority and the place that the Lord has given Jesus as well.
Yeah, every scoundrel who's ever lived, every atheist, everybody. And they're going to, we kind of skipped over verse 10 there, but we'll bow before him. You know, the demons, when Jesus was on earth, acknowledged who he was and his power, even when others didn't. But we're going to one day, either in this life or the one to come. Every knee should bow, every tongue. Well, that means who? Everybody, right? So in heaven, he says, every knee in heaven, well, that would be like the angels. Mm-hmm. And on earth, that would be humanity. And under the earth, I think would probably be the demonic world. Well, who does that leave out of the created beings? That's everybody, you know. So everybody's going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Everybody's going to bow their knee before him. You can do that voluntarily in this life and receive reward, or you can do it in a mandatory, you have to do it way, but it'll be too late at that point.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is it's kind of more of just a polite, biblical way of saying, you can humble yourself or you will be humbled.
That's right.
It's you do have a choice, but you don't really have a choice, you know. And so you can choose how that takes place, but not if it'll take place.
That's right. And that all goes back to humility, which, again, is at the core of what the message of this book is all about, putting others before self. Jesus did that. He humbled himself so that God could exalt him. If we will humble ourselves, then God will exalt us one day as well if we put others before self, which is what Paul wants the church at Philippi to do, and he wants the church of 2025 and beyond to do as well. So we hope that's been something that is encouraging to you. We hope that we're thankful that you've joined us today, and we hope that you know that. We hope that you will like, share, subscribe, all the things on social media and wherever you get podcasts, that you'll tell others about Scripture Spotlight, that you will dedicate yourself 5 to 10 minutes every day studying along with us, whether that be while you're getting ready for work, driving to school, mowing the yard, relaxing in the evening, anywhere in between. We hope that you'll spend 5 to 10 minutes with us as we dig into God's Word to find His message for us on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.